Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
I knew there was a reason. Look at that.
I'm kidding. Y'all laugh, but this... Hey, that's pretty ingenious. This will work right here. You ever see the ones that wear the Britney Spears deal? I mean, all I got to do is wrap them around my ear. It looks like the same thing. Be like, hey. Okay. It's our birthday. It's our anniversary at Christ Community Church. And so we're here to celebrate. You may have come to church for some other reason. Maybe you're here because somebody's making you, because they gave you the stink eye, because you weren't planning on coming. Maybe you got drugged here. You know, you're kind of like, I don't want to go. No, you're going to go to church. But today is a celebration. We're going to celebrate God's faithfulness and what he's been doing in this church for the last 20 years, like growing a beard that's sufficient to carry a microphone. That's been done in the past, and it's good. We're also going to be looking forward to the future. And we're also going to be reminded of what this church and the Church of Christ everywhere in the world stands upon. What makes it special, okay? And so in all this, I neglected to get the beach ball committee to get some beach balls to throw around, okay? So in lieu of beach balls, what we need to do is have some kind of verbal recognition of celebration. My personal favorite is woo-woo, okay? And so we're going to do some woo-woos up in here. But we need to practice. Because I'm going to tell you something, without practice, y'all ain't going to woo right. It's going to sound lame. You know what I'm saying? And we don't need that. Okay? We're here 2 decades of God's faithfulness. How many more decades of God's faithfulness to come? Can any of y'all say?
Woo-hoo!
I can't say, but let's practice. That's right. Many more. That's a reason for a woo-woo. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Woo-hoo!
And don't be all tense with it. You know, it's not form like, woo, woo. It don't got to be like that. Loosen up. Woo, woo. Like, woo, woo, man. Like, wow, this sounds good. Does that make sense? Y'all hear me now? Okay, good. Without any further ado, I will take my... I have no idea what's going on back there, but I don't even want to. But let me pray for us, and then we'll start off. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for, you're faithful all the time. 20 years is such a small time frame for you. We come, based on this 20 years in the past, expecting a great future of seeing you work faithfully through this church body and family. Lord, we want to start off by saying thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for getting us here and continue to use us, Lord. We're yours. And as we praise and worship today, Father, I pray that you would be the object on everybody's mind and heart. That we wouldn't be thinking about everything else or anyone else, but we would put our mind and our heart on you, and that we would praise you wholeheartedly. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Woo-hoo!
For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with God Almighty, the earth is and together we sing.
I worship your holy name.
going to be our last day. You know, and that seems like in every song to me you can find a high and holy moment. And in that song to me, that even though there's a lot of good stuff and we're blessing the Lord, but it's about bringing to that time when you're face to face with your own mortality and you say, have I lived in a way that pleased my God and Savior? Am I going to go confidently into His kingdom to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Have I put my life into Christ? Oh man, it's that. And that song for me, that's the high and holy moment. When we say, when the day is coming, my strength is failing, and it's it. There's no more I can do. I'm fully in His hands. Of course, we are right now fully in His hands. But at that moment, everything else is stripped away. It's just you and God. I pray for you that that moment will be a high and holy moment.
Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. I pray that for the 20th anniversary of this church, it's the best one yet, Lord. I just want to pray that everybody learns something today, Lord. I just want to pray that everybody can take something away from this, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching on this side of the room because I like these people better.
You're welcome.
Y'all don't see it, but we have a potentially dangerous light fixture up there that's wanting to land on somebody.
It ain't going to be me, not today.
I've done been warned that I'm standing this way of it. But anyways, it'll get squared away, and it's not a big deal, but I'm still not standing right there.
When I do the Lord's Supper, I will be standing there, so y'all just, it'd be like a test. It was like when the Apostle Paul landed on the island of Malta, you know, and that viper bit his hand, and he didn't swell up and die. It'd be like, if I stand there and the lights don't fall and crash down on my head, that's a sign. If they do crash down on my head and I don't die, that's a sign. If they fall down on my head and I do die, that's just a coincidence. You know, it's just my time. Don't worry about that. We're going to be all over the place. Let me just say, when it comes to anniversary times, it comes to these things, it's really more of a talk than a sermon. I mean, I'm going to preach and I'm going to give you the word. But can I just tell you, I'm proud to be a part of the Christ Community Church family. You know, I didn't grow up, woo-woo! I don't know if anybody else who is, give a little woo-woo. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, we're different. We're weird on purpose. God destined us this way. You know, it's 2018, so that means back in 1998, God was formalized it. Now, the plans were in the work before that. You know, God was moving and calling people out and helping people to come to grips that God had something more for them in their future and their service and serving Him. And was doing things in our life before 1998, before the church was formalized. The church first started meeting in about June or July of 1998 and became incorporated and had its charter service and all that stuff in September of 1998. And if you were there at that first, in that beginning, just raise your hand up if you were there from the beginning. Look at that. These are like our grandparents in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's all right. In the Lord, you don't even got to be, you know, age old to be a grandparent. But, you know, y'all were there at the beginning, and we're so glad that you're here now, and we're proud of you, and we're proud of what God did in your life. In my life in 1998, as it would have it, that's the year that God called me to preach. And so that same year that He was starting a strange church, He was calling a strange preacher. And I don't know about y'all, but that just sounds like what God does every once in a while. Hey, if any of y'all are you know, strange and you know it, be thankful you know, that He was building a church for you. And if you're strange and you're married, be thankful that He was building a spouse for you too. You know, they're probably strange too. Just don't tell them. They think you're the strange one. You know what I'm saying? But however you're strange, whatever is going on, if you're here, it's because something's different. And that difference is good. Y'all, it's not a bad thing. We kind of live where we're different. Different means bad. Yeah, that sound was bad. It was different. But not all differences are bad. Y'all, God wanted a church where anybody could come to. Regardless of your background, regardless of what you look like and what your hair was doing that day. And I'm not sure what my hair is doing, but I'm starting to get a little red. Hey, man. Anyways, I ain't saying nothing. I'm sorry. What if your hair ain't doing nothing? No hair, no problem. You know what I'm saying? But, man, every time I say something about his hair, I like lock eyes with somebody who's just... But anyway, mine's starting to do something. It's running backwards. It's a retreating hairline. It's not receding anymore. It's like in full retreat mode and getting really thin up there. And I don't know what it's doing, but it shouldn't matter. I said all that to say it shouldn't matter. It just shouldn't matter. There's a song that says, let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. And I remember singing that. I was a part of a young adult group, and how the, you know, the ladies, how they looked was so important. You know what I mean? Their hair and their makeup and their dress. And I remember modifying that song and said, let's forget about our hair and magnify His name and worship Him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't got to do all that stuff. It's nice if you can and all that stuff. All the ladies are going to come in all like, hey! But here's the point. God wanted a different kind of church where people could come and they didn't have to be dressed up in a way they couldn't afford or wasn't natural. They didn't have to make believe. They didn't have to pretend holy. You know, we want
want God to make us holy, God is going to make us holy. Do you believe that? You know, it's not based so much on you as it is on Him. You want to know why I believe I'm going to be holy 100% through and through? It's by the work of Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through Him continuing to work in me and to guide and to correct. That's how we're going to get to where we need to go. Not by going, ooh, and being religiously stuck up, snobbish, intolerant, normal, straight-laced, square, whatever you want to say. We're glad to be weird in the Lord. Isn't that right? Give me a woo-woo. Woo-hoo! Come on! Yeah, it's fun. And plus, it's funner. I can't go that way because it'll buzz me. I'll stay over here. It's just... Did you, your teeth fell out?
No.
Okay. Hey, I just want to say right now, if your teeth are going to fall out due to woo-hoo, just raise your hand, okay? Just do one of these. You don't got... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, we ain't got to push it here. We ain't all in the formality that way. You know what I'm saying? We're pretty easy going around here, you know. Don't lose a tooth over woo-hoo. It'll be all right. Can I tell you one of my... It's a sad but funny and favorite story all at the same time that involves teeth, and it don't have nothing to do with any of the message. But one day we were asked if we would go share the gospel with a man who was in his last stage of life. And the lady knew Randy and knew myself, and she asked Randy and I to go talk to this man. And of course we said yes. You know, that's a high privilege. It's a neat thing to be able to do. And so we go and we are talking with him. And the man was an intelligent man. He was nice. He was hospitable. You know, I don't have anything bad to say about him. The only thing is that he just didn't believe. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe the Word. He didn't believe God. He believed the History Channel. He believed the Discovery Channel and what those channels would say about the Bible and things. And he had all these doubts. He had all these things. And he said he wasn't going to believe. And we weren't getting anywhere with him. And so Randy takes the Bible and says, you know, for those who don't believe when they die, it's not going to be good. I mean, this is a serious moment. It's not going to be good. And he says, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, as soon as he said that, this man's brother, who had been sitting there the whole time, looked at us and with a big old gummy smile went, well, I ain't got no teeth. I thought we had lost. But that's when Randy Carver looked him dead in the face and said, teeth will be provided. That's when I knew I was kind of in the twilight zone for a minute. I was like, wow, this is Mississippi evangelism right here, baby, 101. You ain't going to get all that gnashing teeth. That's what I told him. I don't see him here. I don't see Doc. I don't see him or hear him. So he must not. That's what I told him. I said, there's a job for dentists. And that, you know, there's a job. And that they go providing teeth for those people who need to gnash them. And anyways, I just share that story because it's funny. It's funny. God was preparing me to be the preacher of a weird church. Same year He was preparing a weird church for me, for me to come to. And I know I've shared this with y'all before, but it's just so funny. When I first met the representatives of the church, you know, Shane called me. It was Shane Viner, the first person I really ever talked to, and from here, and he was describing the church, and he did it in such a way. I said, man, I don't know where God's going to take us, but man, I hope it's a church like that one that he described. You know, in my mind, I was going back to Michigan, there was actually a job opening in Brazil that I was excited about, but my wife, not so much. You know, and so there was actually these options, and this wasn't, in my mind, wasn't an option, but the church was so attractive the way it was described to me. And so, anyways, we rock and rolled on, and God started making it clear that this is where you're going to come. And so we finally meet. We meet with the whole group. And I was going, okay. And they knew one of my professors from seminary, Dr. Wilkes, who's just gone to be with the Lord just a few years ago. And he said, I've told them about you. I said, really? And they said, they liked what they heard. I said, oh, what'd you tell them? You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, I had some stuff. I mean, my arm was sore reaching, trying to pat myself on the back a little bit, you know. I'd been in seminary. I had the second highest GPA in my seminary. I was the president of the student body. I had won an award from Lifeway and all this stuff on future leadership and all these things. And I was like, what'd you tell them? You know, I'd been on some mission trips. We had started this ministry in a hospital and got to see a bunch of people come to know the Lord. What'd you tell them, Doc? What'd you tell them good about me that they liked? He said, I told them that you were a bouncer. So you told this church that I used to work in a bar and break up fights. I was part of a team, you know, there's a group of us. You know, I wasn't no mano-a-mano type guy. You know, there's a group. They hired folks from the college football team where I played. And when trouble came, we just basically surrounded them. And usually trouble stopped. A whole bunch of men like, look, there's going to be a lot of trouble. We just usually would just escort people out was all, you know, all really it turned out to be at this college bar. But what in the world? What kind of church is it going to be where they think being a bouncer is really great on the resume? It's kind of rough up in there, man. You don't know who you're going to have from day to day. Just, you know, it's just wild. It's just wild stuff, man. You need to be on your toes, all right? Come on, man. They practice some of their moves. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But I love it. I've never made it hidden about how much I love and I miss my mom, who doesn't live near here. I'm her only child. I have her only grandchildren. And so it's, you know, we're here. We're separated at a family cost. I'm a Michigan guy. I love places where there's not fire ants or venomous snakes and the water's clear. If you're not by Detroit. But anyways, you know, and then it's clear because it's dissolved everything, you know, through the chemicals that are in it. And, but, you know, I was talking to Sarah's niece, Karen's daughter, on Facebook, and she was talking about the fall weather had changed, and they were cooking up, you know, stuff you have for the fall, and it was cold. They live up in the Chicago area, which, you know, I don't really care for that area, but it was the up north thing, and she was talking about apple cider and all this stuff, and I was going, I started missing home. And she said, we ought to come up here. And I said, you know, I would have been years late already coming up there if God didn't have me busy doing something good. Man, if God didn't have me busy doing something good. And that's this church. That's this group. That's the mission that he has here. I'm convinced that it's unique. Maybe unique in the world. And it's an awesome thing to be a part of. And I count it as a privilege and an honor. I'm going to share just a couple scripture verses with us. And they're all on our handout. And apparently I don't have my handout. So the first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. This verse, I think I'm going to try to make it, Mike. Thanks. I'm going to see if y'all test me now. See if I got it right in the right order and all those things. Whenever I leave my bulletin, it's a test to see, did I ingest the message? You know what I'm saying? It's just a little test, that's all. And so, 2 Corinthians 5, 9, God gave this to us to say, what should our mission statement be? What should our focus be? What should be the priority of Christ Community Church? And somehow can we put that into a statement? And here's the verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 9. It says, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. We make it our goal to please God. Can I tell you, the statement He gave us is this, we are determined to honor God. That is the first part of our statement. We are determined to honor God. More than anything else that we want to do as a church, we want to make sure God is honored. And not in superficial ways. You know, a lot of folks, I think, feel like they get away with just taking themselves real seriously and having their halo squeezed on real tight, and they think that's God honoring. But we really want to be in a way that we honor God and make that our first priority. Of course, our mission statement doesn't stop there. It says, we are determined to honor God by leading people into maturing relationships with Jesus Christ. Which that says this, we believe that our priority should be to honor God, and the best way to honor God is to be an influence in the life of people that are drawing them deeper and deeper into Christ. Now, if that's talking about lost people, that means we want to see them become saved people, found people, Christian, born again people. In that mission statement, if we find people who've been born again, we want to see them grow to where in every area of their life, what God has done in them is beginning to work in their marriage, in their finances, in their thinking, in their entertainment, in their time, in their resources, in every place, becoming submitted to Christ in that relationship. To where they're on mission. Can I tell you, the mission that God talks about is never a trip, it's a life. The missions that God talks about is never a trip. Hey, let's go for a couple weeks on a mission trip. You know, that almost has the idea that the rest of the other 50 weeks out of the year, we're just chilling and living for ourselves. Can I tell you, when you go on a trip, you ought to be doing the same mission that you're doing where you live every day. You're just doing it somewhere different. Does that make sense? Hey, look over here. I'm not trying to, but this is Jess, and he's walking. And he just had a surgery done that was very complicated. It's not just been done. It's been done for over a month or so. But he's doing great. Let's just give him a hand. We're glad you're here, Jess. He started walking faster when y'all started clapping, which either meant he was embarrassed or we just encouraged him. You know, but either way, that's what family's for. Our mission is to honor God, and we do that by influencing people to become deeper and closer with Christ. The second verse on your paper is Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Hello. Galatians 6, 14. And I modified it, which is never safe, but I just changed the personal pronoun I to we in yours. So this is what it says on your handout. It says, may we never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, or to us, and us to the world. I didn't change all those pronouns in there, but anyways, I was supposed to. May we never boast on anything except the cross of Christ. I remember one of the stories that one of our members, long-term members and friends and leaders in our church, the Cresswell family, Eddie and Amy, and they were, somebody approached them about the church. They were foolishly going to some other church, you know, just in a state of sin and ignorance. And so somebody from Christ community began to talk to them. And they said, and I think they might have been new. I don't remember how the whole story worked, but here's the essential. A lot of people had been talking to them about their churches, and they started saying, man, we got this youth group that's just rocking. Man, we got this facility. Man, we take a ski trip over here. We'd go do this. We do this. We do that. But when the folks from Christ community came to their church, to their house to talk to them, they said, well, what are y'all's going on? They said, man, we just love Jesus, and that's what we got. And they said, that's where we want to go. Hey, man, programs can come and go. Personalities, leadership can come and go. All those things can come and go. Denominations. You know, a lot of people will brag on that. Well, we're this one and we're that one. A lot of, if you're just visiting here, you probably got no idea if we're non-denominational or if we're a denomination or anything. You probably think that we're not the denomination that we actually are because we don't act like the rest of them. But can I tell you, your denomination ain't nothing to brag on. Your building ain't nothing to brag on. The salvation that God gave you, it ain't nothing for you to brag about yourself on. Man, we ought to just lift up Christ and say, hey, we're here because Christ loves us. What's the big thing we got going? Because I believe God's going to add to it. I'm so glad that God's adding a really awesome youth group. I'm so proud of them. They represented us yesterday at the Holcomb thing. tent revival. Which was such a cool deal. And let me tell you how they represented us. Some people say, well, they sang. Yeah, they sang. They're also up here at 6 o'clock in the morning. because that whole thing was dependent on equipment that we had. Our youth leaders and youth band, they were up here at 6 o'clock in the morning. We loaded that thing up. We didn't set the stage, screw down the plywood in there, but we did just about everything else. God used, and they sang. And they were just there and helped when somebody asked them. I was proud of them. And when it was all over, even though they all either wanted to go to the movies or go home, because I heard that several times. Can we go? Can we go? I want to go. I said, we got to get all this stuff. You know, all this stuff has to go back in. We got to get all this stuff. Yeah, but can we go to the movies and come back? I said, no, you can't go to the movies and come back. You know, we need you to be here. So they're there at 6 o'clock in the morning. They didn't leave here until almost, it was after 9 o'clock at night. These are our teenagers. I know a lot of y'all are saying, that's teenagers. That's what they're supposed to do. But you know what? Most teenagers in the world weren't doing that kind of stuff all day. But I want to say this. All that, that's awesome. I think God's going to grow that kind of stuff. But don't go out of here bragging on that group. Go out of here bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whatever, you know, I get so proud. We had so many people go on a Beautiful Feet mission trip earlier this year. I forget how many. We had about 30 from here, and it's just been growing. And we're probably going to be taking that trip over in a leadership fashion. That's going to end up becoming something that God's given Christ Community Church to do. But don't brag on that. Brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in everything, there is nothing that we just were so brilliant and so strong and so holy that we just decided we're going to do this because we're so good. And so we ought to get the credit and the glory. Give all credit, all glory for all this to Christ. Right? We got a rockin' praise brand. Praise brand. We got some rockin' raisin brand or whatever it is. But don't go out bragging on the praise band. I mean, we can like them and love them and all that stuff, but if they're doing their job, what their job is to teach us to look up to Christ and to fill our imagination with pictures of what it means to be saved and in relationship with God. Brag on Christ and all of it. Eventually, we're going to raise enough money that we're going to have a campus that's going to look like these pictures that you see on the wall. This is the first building of three buildings that God gave us a picture for 4 or 5 years ago. This is just building number one. Building number two will be coming. Building number three will be coming. But when they come, don't brag on a building. People build buildings. Companies build buildings. Terrorists build buildings. Don't brag on a building. Don't brag on the money. Brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, we got to see over 30 people baptized this year. That's pretty awesome. But it would be foolish for us to brag on the baptismal. It'd be foolish to brag on the preacher. It'd be foolish to brag on anybody except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So when we go out, and for these next years, don't, man, you're like, what are you all about? We're about the same thing we were about when they went to the Cresswell's house. We're about loving Jesus Christ and being all about Him. We're determined to honor God and to lead people into a growing, a maturing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. And that's pretty fun. It's good. Okay, the last verse deals with the Lord's Supper. We take the Lord's Supper on the fifth Sunday of the month. Just so happens this is the fifth Sunday of the month, and even though it's our birthday and our anniversary as a church, it's kind of thinking, man, should we do it or should we not do it? And you know what? God put it in my brain that we should do it. You know why? Because what it demonstrates is what we ought to be about all the time. Ain't no program, ain't no preacher, there's no amount of discipleship, no amount of tithing or anything else that makes a difference that saves you and me. It's the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have a future, if we're going to have a bright future that glorifies God, it's going to be because it's based on the fact that we are trusting in the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's in the Lord's Supper that we strip it down to its essentials. I used to not like the Lord's Supper. I just didn't. When I first got saved, I didn't understand it. I'd always witnessed communion in the Catholic Church, which is more ceremonial. It just seemed to make more sense. But then I went to a Baptist church, and it seemed like it wasn't a big deal. They didn't make a big deal out of it, but they still kind of forced you to do it. And I thought it was maybe union rules or something like that. Like you had to do it, like the Baptist Union of Preachers says, you've got to do this. And they're like, okay, we're going to do it. We're not going to like it. We're not going to make a big deal out of it, but we're going to do it. By golly, by gosh. And God opened my eyes to say, you know, when you do the Lord's Supper, it's like you strip everything else away and you just focus on what's really important. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. And then this is what I'm going to invite you to do. Out there, there's going to be some, and I'm going to ask somebody who's paying attention and maybe could run out there and make sure that this is true. There's going to be cake and cupcakes of some sort out there to celebrate our 20th anniversary. I want to invite all y'all to come back tonight to celebrate with singing and eating and festivities tonight, and maybe even some folks ready to share a testimony. But what we're going to do today is we're going to get up, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and you're going to walk out. This will be the end. Because I want you to do is leave. What I want you to do is leave. Can you all just leave? Please leave. You're like, I'm telling you, the preacher said it. He said it. He said, just leave. What I want you to do, having taken the Lord's Supper, is to go out with that fresh on your brain that it's about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm going to need... it's out there. Thank you, Adam. So when you do leave, if you want to get that crackery taste out of your mouth, there is cake, cupcakes, you know, anniversary cake out there. Please help yourself to that. Please come back tonight, 5:30. I think is when it starts, and we're going to have a potluck. Is that right? Yes. We're going to have, especially if you're bringing some of the food, make sure that you make it. You know. We got some hamburgers to grill. If somebody doesn't mind grilling some, because it's just not a party unless there's meat smoking, you know, unless there's some kind of fat smell coming off a grill, it just ain't right. Read the Old Testament, it's true. Y'all come back, but right now, let's just have this time where we realize that Christ Community Church always has been and always will be dependent on what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that is our one brag, our one boast, our one message. Okay? And now if I can get three folks to help me. Randy, will you help me? Mike, will you help me? Johnny, will you help me? Okay. Hey, we're doing good. The last verses are Luke chapter 22. Verse 19 and 20. Luke 22, 19 and 20. It says, and he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup, in the same way after the supper he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Every time I go through this, I'm reminded of the cost, the sinful things that I've done and do with my body. Jesus Christ paid the price with His body. He exchanged His body for mine. The punishment, the shackles, the shame that I should receive in my body, He took. He took that for me. His blood being poured out, that means... And that cup, he had the cup after supper. He lifted that cup up and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And that cup of wine, that cup after supper, that stood for the redemption. Man, that stood for the fact that God redeems His people. And to have Jesus holding it up and say, this is the new covenant in my blood. That's saying this, He has redeemed us perfectly, sufficiently, eternally. It's all in Him. It's an exclamation point that says, yes, in Christ, you are redeemed. It's just awesome. That's what we're doing here today. The Bible does tell us to examine ourselves before we take the Lord's Supper. And so, as we do, I want you all to examine yourselves. And this is the main point. It's not to say, are you perfect? This is not an examination of scrutiny. I almost said something weird about 17-year-olds. And anyways, it's not that. This is an examination of conscience to see whether or not you are in Christ or not. Okay? Are you in Christ or not? If you have a doubt about whether or not you belong to Christ, I'm going to ask that you get that squared away before you show publicly and take part of this supper. Okay? If you have any doubt, bow your head and say, Lord, I want to belong to You. I want to be Yours. I want to belong to a body that's celebrating. You know, we got 20 years in, but the church has almost 2 millennia in. And we're part of that. And the people of God, they have almost 4 millennia in. We're part of that. It's an awesome thing that we get to do in Christ. But make sure you're in Christ and you don't just show it. Okay? So I'm going to pray for us. And in that time, if you have any business to do with God, you do it. And we're going to have a supper together. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And I pray that You would show each of us where we are with You. If we do have anything that we need to repent of, Lord, any obvious sin, bring it to our mind, Lord, that we might repent of it and just ask Your forgiveness. But Father, first and foremost, if there's any here today and they don't know You, they're not sure. Father, before they get up here just to make this statement, I pray that You would help them to discern and that You'd help them, if the need be, to pray and just turn their life over to You. We love You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, just take a minute. Literally, I am too impatient to wait more than a minute. That's just a character flaw. But a minute of silence, okay? And I'm really going to try to make it a solid 60 seconds. But if you got to respond to God, I know I didn't give you much time, but I'm going to give you that time, okay? So a minute right now to respond to God however you need to. Just close your eyes. Give everybody that privacy. If you need to respond to God in any way, take this minute and do that now. Thank you. and then come to the juice, then you can come out and get your stuff, and you go out in Jesus' name. You go out excited about what Jesus has done, about who He is and who He's made us to be.
I'm not who I used to be.